up and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in season or off season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Welcome back to the Dynasty Happy Hour. We are here this week to cover all the news, all the retirements, and we're talking about rookie running backs this week as we get closer to the draft. It is just about a month away. So every week we're going to be breaking down different positions. This week we've got the running back position, which all of a sudden is kind of ill. So, but before we get into that, I want to say hi to my co-host Tyler and my co-host Tim. Tyler, we'll start with you first. What is new in the land of many lakes?
It's good. We had 50-degree weather. It has been very nice. The snow is almost gone. Me, my wife, and my two kiddos have gone on walks. I have an amazing slow-motion video I keep forgetting to share on Twitter that my son getting, I think, a half an inch off the ground to jump into a puddle. And all I'm going to say is, watch out, Zion. Because this guy, he's coming. Call him White Chocolate.
Man. That Zion competition. Close one for Duke. I didn't watch it. Don't care. Tim, what's up with you?
Oh, not much. Back from a fun weekend in New York City after a tour of the Eagles Stadium Saturday morning. So I had a good time. I'm relaxed. Weekend away with the wife, with the kid, you know, away from the kids. Not that I don't love my kids. I love them very much. But sometimes you just need that little bit of time away. So it's good. It's refreshing. But I'm back. I'm ready. We're talking some running backs. And everybody loves running backs. So I'm looking forward to getting into this.
Absolutely. So let's talk. It's been free agency has been pretty quiet this past week. A lot of, secondhand signings. We talked a little bit about it at the end of the pod last week. I made a notation because I forgot to talk about it. But really the biggest signing from a fantasy perspective this week, it wasn't Justin Hardy. Sorry, Tyler. It was Randall Cobb signed a 1-year, $5 million deal with the Dallas Cowboys. So in essence, he's going to be taking over Cole Beasley's role. So I'll go to Tim. Tim, is Randall Cobb a guy that you're even interested in Dynasty anymore?
No, personally, I'm not. I think Randall Cobb for the past 2 years has shown the decline. And I mean, you got to like the fact that he's playing beside an up-and-coming alpha wide receiver here. But he had an alpha wide receiver there in Green Bay he was playing beside. Yeah, there's this very strong running game in Dallas as well. Probably won't see as much attention on the passing game down in Dallas as you did in Green Bay. But I think Randall Cobb is past his time, and I'm not going to invest in him much at all at this point.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Randall Cobb, to me, just was living off name recognition for many, many years. I think he only has 1,000-yard season under his belt, and he had that one big double-digit touchdown year with Aaron Rodgers many moons ago. And I feel that people would draft him just because, like, oh, Randall Cobb, he's playing with Aaron Rodgers, and it just never worked out. Tyler, do you own any Randall Cobb anywhere? And if so, are you using this as a potential sell point, or have you tried to sell him and you just can't get anything for him?
Yeah, I own him in the league we just drafted on Sleeper. He was a very, very late pick, and he was just a guy I knew as a free agent. Hopefully he lands in the right spot and maybe flip. But yeah, from what we see, we used to see Randall Cobb twice a year up here in Minnesota, and it seemed like Green Bay just got sick of him. Like it's almost like, okay, we'll give him five targets here and there, and he might get a touchdown to save your week in fantasy. Can he be what Cole Beasley was? Yeah, sure. He could be. And I honestly think his lower leg injuries that he had year after year after year really got to him. And I think the explosiveness that we came to see from Randall Cobb his first 3 years or so has now kind of dwindled away. I know he's really young, but he's played a lot of football. So even though I think he's like 28, it doesn't mean he's young. I think in football years, he's old because he came in at 20 years old and did a lot of kick returns, punt returns, and was used early on. So for Randall Cobb, I think his value is going to be pretty high now. I think, what do you guys think? A late second, early third would probably be around his price right now with the signing in Dallas.
Yeah.
He's going to a worse quarterback. Like you said, the running back is is elite at in Dallas. And I just, Jason Witten's there now. So of
course, I was just going to say, let's not forget Witten's back too. So that kind of throws a wrench in the target, you know, the target schematic.
So I have to give people a good joke that Doug and I were talking about on in a Voxer chat. Doug was talking about a team where he has Greg Olsen and Jason Witten and was talking about hopefully it's a points per broadcast league because then he would rack up the points. And I had to remind him how bad Jason Witten was in the booth to where it would probably hurt his team if you got points per broadcast booth from those two. So
that was, and I did mention that that would put Jason Witten in the John Ross pantheon of finishing with negative points on the season. Oh, Jason Witten. Oy. So that's pretty much it for signings. You know, there's still a lot of interesting names that are available out there, mostly at the running back position. And we're going to touch on them a little bit here as we talk about this year's running backs. We did have two retirements this week, or actually today. So I don't know if you guys caught the first one. Jeremy Maclin officially hung it up. He was fun in fantasy for a handful of years. With his Philadelphia days. I know Tim was rooting for him when he was an Eagle, and then he had one good season in Kansas City. Then he got injured, and he never played again. But the big retirement news, which I didn't think was going to happen, I was actually trying to buy this man in the offseason on the cheap, hoping that he would come back and try to make another Super Bowl run in 2019, and that's Rob Gronkowski. Hangs it up. So I'm going to give you some awesome Gronk stats courtesy of Graham Barfield, who's an excellent follow on Twitter. If you don't follow him, he works for NFL Network now. All-time leader in yards per game at 68.3. All-time leader at touchdowns per game, 0.69. Very nice. Yards per target, 9.9, is the leader all-time since 1992. And he also ranks 8th best all-time in receptions per game at 4.5 and 4th best in yards per reception at 15.1 at the tight end position. An absolute greatest of all time tight end. Debate me.
Yes. He'll be missed. Honestly, he was very fun to watch. And it's kind of crazy to think that the era's done. And it feels like it just started. I know he's younger, but he's going on in his prime. I think he knew his body was kind of giving up on him. He's had tons of back injuries. Good for him. And I'm not a fan of the Patriots, but man, Gronk has always been a guy that you love rooting for, a true guy, like one of those guys that you know that's who he is. That's Gronk. He's not putting on a fake face for the media or trying to act all, oh, look at me, I'm the true gentleman. Like, he was just being himself and having fun and playing the game that he loved, and he pushed himself until he knew he couldn't go anymore. So I know he probably isn't never going to hear this, but Gronk, thank you for everything, man. It was awesome watching you. And man, like, how many kids that guy has changed, like playing pickup football, like, I'm Gronk.
Yeah.
Like, that was absolutely Mike Allstott for me.
It was funny. We had friends visiting us today to visit the baby, and one of their sons, he's 4, was wearing a Gronk jersey. And I was like, hey, breaking news, Gronk just retired. You know, I've actually had the pleasure to meet Gronk on a couple different occasions. Shook his hand once, got to talk to him briefly, and he's as advertised. He's just a big, fun character. And, you know, it stinks that he's retiring, but you just have to look back and appreciate what this man did for the game of football. And I wouldn't say bringing it mainstream, but just one of the most lovable players of all time. You know, he's a lot smarter than people think. He's never spent any money from any of his game checks, which is crazy to me. Like, he lives on his sponsorship money. He doesn't live lavishly or anything crazy. I mean, he kept it real, and he is who he is. It stinks that he retires. Just from a Patriots cap standpoint, they're up to $17 million in cap room now after he retired. So, you know, a couple pods ago, I said, don't be surprised if you see the Patriots make a trade on draft day, because we're late into free agency now. You know, Jared Cook might be an option. Supposedly, he's still dealing with the Saints, but he hasn't signed anything official. So maybe the Patriots try to jump back in like they did in Adam Humphries and make a late push to get Jared Cook. Do they draft Hockenson and Fant in the draft? I don't know if they make it to them. So that's going to be interesting. Or do they trade for a big-name wide receiver, a la like an A.J. Green, to come onto the team? You know, they haven't done anything notable at the receiver position. And, you know, you want to keep your quarterback happy. Tom Brady doesn't have his binky and Rob Gronkowski. Chris Hogan's still a free agent who's unsigned. You know, they have Julian Edelman, so he's going to get a billion targets. So this is going to be one of the biggest things to watch, I think, come draft day, is what the Patriots are going to do at the pass catcher position. Now, could they draft a receiver at the 32nd pick in the first round? Absolutely, I think they could.
Will they? Might be there.
I would love that, but here's the thing that scares me about the Patriots. They suck at drafting receiver.
That's true.
They're absolutely terrible. But if you're going to take a shot at receiver in a couple, you know, they've got six picks in the top 100. If you're going to use two of those for a receiver, this is the year to do it. So yeah. I think maybe that's what their strategy is going to be. It's going to be really, really interesting to see what the Pats do on offense here, because I'm a little nervous, but I mean, you just won the Super Bowl. So, you know, if they don't win the Super Bowl this year, like, ooh, no, I'm going to melt down. But it's going to be interesting to see what they do. So, Tim, do you have any final thoughts on Gronk before we move on?
I would say Gronk was always a fun player to watch. Gronk was fun to listen to post-game. Locker room stuff is always fun. Gronk always had something interesting to say. Little quip here, little joke there. But the past few years, when it came to fantasy football, Gronk had kind of changed from being an automatic, this is the guy, you plug him in every week, to a little bit more of a headache with the injuries. And really, it's not his fault. I mean, you know, when the body starts to give up on you, there's really nothing, you know, the individual can do to make it better, especially the back issue. So wish it wouldn't have happened so soon for Gronk. Would have been amazing to see him go another 5 years. And if he would have kept up all those numbers that Doug highlighted earlier, if he would have kept up all those paces, the actual counting stats that he would have compiled before it was time for him to go, it's just fun to see. Imagine if he would have had the longevity of a Tony Gonzalez or something like that.
Yeah.
Just the crazy, crazy numbers. It would have been almost insurmountable for any other tight end to meet and match. So Gronk, you can't doubt the talent. It sucks if you were a Gronk owner these past few years. He was a bit of a headache. There was always those questions of, is it time to sell? Is it time to buy? And sadly, if you were a buyer the past few years, you only had a handful of opportunities to really cash in on him and have him help you win some games.
So here's a question I have for you, because I've seen him moved tonight in a couple of leagues for, like, you know, it's auction league, so for like $5. So the question I ask you boys is, if you had an opportunity to get Gronk on the dirt cheap, so like say like $5 if you're in a salary cap league, or like a late fourth round pick, would you roster Gronk in hopes that there's potential that he comes back?
No. We all did this with Kelvin Johnson. I think it's because we don't want to let go of people who retire early.
Yeah.
I mean, Kelvin, we all hoped, okay, he takes a year off and then wants to come back. And we're going to do the same with Gronk. And I think once they take that year off, like, you hear Pat McAfee talk about it. Like, yeah, Pat McAfee talks about a different position, punter. But he's like, you know, sometimes when I watch the games, I miss the competitiveness during the playoffs. But he's like, it's just so nice and feeling good. Like, that's what McAfee says. He's like, you know, you wake up in the morning, you're able to get up, you're not sore. And he's like, it just feels good. And yeah, I think Gronk's going to enjoy that too much. I think he's got other plans outside of football as well. So
I would, and here's why. So he's 29 years old. Right now he's probably feeling like, yeah, we just won the Super Bowl. Like, maybe he does those other plans. Maybe those plans don't work out. I don't know if you've ever seen Rob Gronkowski act. It's bad. So maybe he takes a year, realizes like, hey, you know what? The WWE, maybe they're not calling, or maybe he's, you know, he's not going to do that. Maybe he's not getting acting gigs. And then he comes back and says, hey, I'm ready to play again. So for me, if I can get him in a salary cap league for like $5, like, I'm going to do that, as long as it's, you know, I have room on my roster to float a player like that for a year. You know, it would have worked out pretty well. I mean, I don't know too many people that did the same thing with Jason Witten, because he's obviously significantly older. But Jason Witten just came back after a year off. So I think anything's possible. And I think if you can get him on the back end of your roster on the dirt cheap, why not? I mean, it is a lottery ticket. I think it's a little bit different than Calvin Johnson. I think once Calvin Johnson retired, we kind of knew that he was done, just because he's a little bit of a different guy than Gronk, let's be honest. But yeah, I think I'm going to take that shot. And you know, have that lottery ticket because it could work out. And if it doesn't, I mean, it's a roster spot, which in deeper dynasty leagues, I mean, we've seen people roster Leonte Carew for 4 years, me included. I would much rather have that spot on a retired Gronk at this point. So I think it's completely doable. So he will join an exclusive club. If he does stay retired, here's a fun fact. He will be one of only three players in the Hall of Fame that retired before their age 30 season. Do you know the other two? It's Jim Brown and it is Gale Sayers are the two under 30 that are in the Hall of Fame that were first ballot Hall of Famers. And I do think if Gronk does stay retired, he's an absolute smash first ballot Hall of Famer without a doubt. And some people even doubt that. And I'm like, you're insane.
Yeah. Like he changed the position. That's the thing with Gronk. Like Tony Gonzalez, he was probably the stepping stone, but Gronk turned it up a different level with his athleticism. Like
18
Tony Gonzalez
in a season.
Was a lot of finesse. Gronk was a lot of power and just he was impossible to bring down.
Yeah, it's the vintage Gronk videos. There's a lot of them on Twitter today just going through, and I was like, man, he was so good. All right, So let's get off the Gronk talk and let's talk some running backs. The most polarizing position in this year's draft class, in my opinion, because we've had some guys test that we thought were going to test well and they haven't tested well. We, you know, there's been a lot on that we've even talked about landing spot dependent, which I think is a huge part, especially in this year's draft, more so than ever, is where are these guys going to land? Because you look at their opportunity, where are they going to get drafted? Are they going to be a first round pick, second, third, fourth, fifth? And we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. I have a theory that might disappoint some for running backs in this year's draft. But I want to kick it off and talk a little bit about Josh Jacobs, who had his pro day at Alabama this past week. And let me tell you, it wasn't very exciting. So I know he ran like an average of between like a 4.6 and a 4.66 40. He was hand timed, so slower than he thought he was going to run. Not necessarily a death nail for him, but when you look at his other measurables, his broad jump was like would have been the worst at the combine, and that kind of scares me a little bit because that's, you know, and it, one of the things that you can use for explosiveness. I don't know what he ran for his three cone or anything like that, but I want to talk a little bit about Josh Jacobs. So a lot of people had him as the consensus number one overall running back, even the 1-1 in rookie picks just maybe a few weeks ago. I'd say pre-combine, like he was in that conversation. Tyler, now that we know what we know with Josh Jacobs outside of his landing spot, how much has this hurt his draft value, not only in real life NFL, but in potential in dynasty leagues?
I think the tape people are still okay with him. Like me, I still like him. I think he's a pretty good running back. I think the issue comes in is where is he going to go? And the thing that scares me the most is I think it was the 2014 class with Bishop Sankey and Carlos Hyde, how the running back, like the first running back went in the second round. It wasn't pretty. And when you have NFL teams like not even interested in the first round, it kind of perks your ears up and it goes, okay, if they're not interested in taking the guy in the first round, does it mean he's not a superstar? Does it mean just there's a bunch of people all bunched up in one group to where they can just pick and choose from that certain area in the draft, like a second or third round pick, and be like, okay, this is what we think, this is the guy that's left in our tiers. And the NFL takes him in the third round or so. Like Jacobs could be a guy that goes to the Eagles with their first round pick, which would ultimately boost up his value. He's a first round pick. He's going to a prime spot. And he's the starting running back with a very potent offense. Or he could go, I don't know, third round to, say, I don't know, the Packers and compete with Aaron Jones.
You shut your mouth.
These are scenarios, Doug.
You shut your mouth, Tyler, or you attack me like that.
Or he goes to the Bears, where he's going with Tariq Cohen, and Tariq Cohen catches a lot of passes, so that takes his pass-catching ability out. Like, there's a lot of scenarios with – you're going to hear this a lot tonight. There's a lot of scenarios with these running backs where it's going to be landing spot dependent, and no running back has really helped himself except I'd probably say Robbie Anderson, he's one of the guys that I feel like since he's done minimal – has actually helped his value because his tape before he got injured was fantastic.
Tim, what's your feeling on Josh Jacobs now that his pro day is done? And would you like to see him as a Philadelphia Eagle? I know that is your team, so I want to put that out there.
Personally, no. I feel that there are better fits for the Philadelphia Eagles. I feel that there are running backs in this class that are more versatile than Josh Jacobs. I mean, the reality is Josh Jacobs is supposed to be the, you know, the leading running back in this class, and the only thing that he leads in is hand size. It's the only measurable that he leads in. He would have been, if he'd have ran the 4.6 at the combine, he'd have been 17th amongst running backs. His bench press of 18 would have been 17th among running backs. His broad jump of 112 inches, dead last in the class. He does not appear explosive. He does not have great breakaway speed. So it's all based off tape. And while I do believe that the tape is good, this is really the first time in a while that Alabama has not had just that one guy that they just completely leaned on in quite some time. And really, to start the season, Jacobs wasn't the 1A. He was the 1B. And it kind of flip-flopped throughout the season. And you got to give Alabama credit. They definitely recruit top-notch talent, top-notch athletes. But there's just something about Josh Jacobs that doesn't make me think that this is your average Alabama running back.
Yeah, and the thing with Jacobs, too, is he came into Alabama, I think, as a two-star guy. So yeah. He worked his tail off.
Yeah, for Bama, he was definitely down the totem pole.
Yeah, he worked his tail off to, you know, get where he's at right now, which is always good to see.
Respect,
and
yeah.
There's, like, Corey Davis was a two-star guy, and we all love Corey Davis. Mm-hmm. So anything can happen, but, like, this running back class leaves me worried, and it leaves me very worried about, you know, you're going to have the players that you fall in love with, like the Hills or the Andersons or the Hendersons.
Tyler, you said about how Rodney Anderson has really possibly been the running back that's got the most rise, and he hasn't done anything. I think, look at a guy like Miles Sanders. Pre-combine, there was a few people out there talking about Miles Sanders. I know I brought his name up a handful of times as a guy that I liked, I wanted to keep an eye on. But now that the combine's over, we see these athletic numbers, these comparables, these apples-to-apples comparisons. How many more people are starting to get on, you know, Miles Sanders' side? I believe McDowell had some Twitter polls out earlier today talking about, you know, so Jacobs equals RB1. I believe he had Sanders as the RB2 in the class. And not saying he didn't have him there before, but more people are in agreement with that now than they were just 2-3 months ago.
Yep. And players like Mike Weber, I think, helped himself at the combine.
Oh, yeah.
A player that is very underrated. Dexter Williams out of Notre Dame, I think, came out very positively, and a lot of people are starting to notice him. And like I said, I'm a little worried it's going to be a class where there's going to be a lot of fourth and fifth round picks for running backs, and teams are just going to look at 2020 and be like, we'll wait. We're okay with waiting.
Well, and what I wanted to talk about earlier to bring up is that we've got a lot of veteran running backs like Jay Ajayi, TJ Yeldon, Spencer Ware, so on and so on. That, you know, we're coming up to the third week of free agency. Jay Ajayi had a visit with the Colts, said it went positive, no contract. Spencer Ware visited with the Lions, nothing. And then TJ Yeldon, I Googled him the other day just to see if there was any reports of a visit anywhere, and there is none. So
he's on a milk carton.
He must be.
Yeah, so anybody that's listening, if you've seen TJ Yeldon,
please
reach out to us. Let us know that he's okay. He's still alive. At this point, we're honestly concerned.
Yeah. So part of my, you know, thinking about the, you know, these things that have transpired with running backs, it could be twofold. It could be that maybe the NFL doesn't value these guys to pay them, so they're waiting for the price to come down. Or, you know, there's so many good running backs in the league right now. I just think that, you know, come draft day, we might see only a few running backs go in the first few rounds. And I think that's going to affect a lot of the dynasty draft stock, because a lot of people, when they do their analysis, you know, it is landing spot, but also draft capital. I hear that a lot in a lot of people's, like, oh, they drafted him in the second round, draft capital. Well, if there's only going to be a few running backs that get drafted in the first three rounds, I think that'll help make the picture clear, but it's going to muddy up a lot of it after the first few guys. And that's one of my big concerns is, you know, if that's going to happen, then if the NFL is not valuing these guys, maybe they're just not valuing the position, but it becomes a little bit more of a crapshoot after the first three off the board, if that's what happens.
I think it's a combination of what you just brought up and what Tyler had said earlier about how the NFL teams and their scouting groups realize what this class is, and it's a lot of mid to late round type players. And then they look ahead to that 2020 class, which is, you know, looking like there's going to be some more front end of the draft type running back. So you're going to see, in my opinion, you're going to see a lot of these guys in this running back class get drafted in the fourth round or later. They're just going to be either camp bodies. They're going to be guys that make the team on the last or second to last set of cuts. They're going to be back into the roster, back into the depth chart type guys. And it's going to, what really stinks for them is, even if they were guys that normally in a year that would have been that fifth round, sixth round guy, that all he needs is an injury or two or just one big play to really showcase his talents and start to move up the depth chart, he has 1 year to do it. Because this next year, all these teams that are kind of sort of looking at running backs are really going to be looking hard at running back next year with this good class, and they're going to immediately draft that guy that's even going to push them further down the depth chart.
Yep. Yep. And it reminds me a lot of the Devontae Booker, Kenneth Dixon year.
Yeah.
Where we all love those guys. Booker, we loved. Dixon, we loved.
I still love Dixon. I still love you.
Yeah. And like Dixon and Booker, I think were both fourth or fifth round picks. I think they're fourths. And, you know, people were kind of doing the panicking, like, oh, this is fine. This is fine. But
yeah.
We all realize, like, the NFL team realized that this class was meh, and 2017 was coming up with that dynamite rookie yep. class. And so the prices dropped in the NFL draft, the real draft, where players went, like, we were shocked when Booker and Dixon both went that late. I remember Twitter was like, what the heck happened? Why are they not getting drafted? Mm-hmm. And they went so late. And now you're kind of like, oh, okay. That's why, because they
history.
The NFL is
itself.
Also smart. Yep.
Yeah. I think it's good. Just looking ahead too, I know everyone's like super excited about the 2020 class, and there's going to be a lot of running backs potentially in that class. I can't wait for Twitter when it's like declare day and like two of the big studs go back to school.
Akers and
yeah, it'll be guys that are like, you know, that they've got like a big reputation, but maybe they didn't perform all that well. So it'd be like a Cam Akers and, I don't know, throw in another name in there that end up going back to school just to piss everyone off. That's, I always find that fun, but good for them if that happens. So I want to get back on, I want to get back on the train here a little bit and talk about some specific players. We talked about Josh Jacobs, obviously. I want to talk about his backfield mate. And we were talking pre-pod about, you know, a lot of teams that are looking for running back help this year. And we talked about Damian Harris, and I think, Tyler, you had a really good potential landing spot for him when we were talking about, like, where could these guys end up? That, you know, it may not be the lights-out fantasy spot, but it could be a really good one if there was an injury. So, Tyler, why don't you tell us where you think you would like to see Damian Harris land?
Yeah, the more we talked about it, because I like Harris. Harris is, I think, in my top 10. I think
he
might be 11.
Yeah, he's rock solid. He's not flashy, but yes. He's solid. Yeah.
Yep. And watching him on tape, I think he's a very explosive dude. He reminds me of Thomas Rawls without the craziness. He actually is patient and waits for holes open instead of trying to make them himself. Harris is a guy where I think fits perfect in Carolina. Him and Christian McCaffrey. Yeah, Christian McCaffrey is going to get a ton of touches. But can Harris be a Mark Ingram type where that, you know, McCaffrey gets two series, Harris gets one. McCaffrey gets two series, Harris gets one. Or you know, gets two in a row. You know, maybe Harris gets a hot hand and McCaffrey isn't running well. Harris is a different player where he's going to start bullying people and McCaffrey's a smaller guy. They would fit very well together. And Harris is, what, a third rounder? And if he's a third rounder in Carolina, you could probably sign me up for a late first round pick for Damian Harris. I would love that.
Yeah, and I like to invest, too, in the running backs that are one step away from being the guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
So McCaffrey goes down. I mean, Rivera, as much as you may not be able to trust coach speak, but he already said that they wanted to reduce McCaffrey's workload. So, I mean, McCaffrey goes down with an injury. It's Damian Harris. They've got Cameron Artis Payne still there, I think. And God knows, they've got like some fullback guy that sniped a touchdown from McCaffrey last year, whose name escapes me. But yeah, I mean, it's not a very talented depth chart in Carolina. So that would be, I think that was a great situation where he could land. And I do think he's one of the more solid prospects in this draft. Just like I said, nothing flashy, nothing sexy, just a guy that's, he's solid across the board. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
I want to add on real quick. It's another thing where you got to look at Alvin Kamara. We talked about him on the Patreon. Justin did, about how he didn't look at the he wasn't big sample on the usage size of him. And Jacobs had some usage, but Jacobs was also, just like Alvin Kamara, a five-star recruit, very talented coming out of high school, a guy that had a huge, huge reputation. So you got to remember that sometimes when they're coming out. I mean, Isaiah Crowell was a guy, a five-star recruit. He was the running back to own in that year that he came out of high school. You've got to keep attention to that as well. Probably not as big of a deal, but when it comes to the draft and say he's a third or fourth and you're kind of debating between him and another guy who is like a three-star recruit in high school, it could make the difference, because talent wins out, and the five-star means he was a very talented player coming out of high school.
Yeah.
If you're going to ask me, of these two Alabama running backs we've talked about now, I think I trust Damian more than I do Josh. I think that Josh has a higher ceiling, but I could also see the fact that Josh could have a lower floor. I mean, his negative athletic aspects could really, you know, come out and prove themselves to be what he's truly about. Or maybe it's more what we see on tape. So there's that high ceiling, low floor with Josh Jacobs, I feel. Whereas I'm right there with Doug. I feel that Damian Harris is just a solid overall back. I don't think he has that glaring weakness. I think he has more well-rounded tools to lean on to, you know, the better speed. He's still got power. He can catch. There's nothing he can't do, at least well.
Yeah. So I want to talk about...
Yeah, he is correct.
I want to talk about a running back when we talk about something that he can do well, who's very fast, that turned a lot of heads at the combine, and that's Justice Hill. So I've seen him going... we've done some mock drafts on Twitter over the last few days, and I've seen Justice Hill become like a middle to high-end second-round pick. So I still haven't done a lot of work on Justice Hill, so shame on me. But Tim, share your opinions on Justice Hill and give me a team that you would like to see him land on in the draft process here.
Justice Hill is your smaller pass catching third down type back. Oklahoma State weighed in at the combine at about 198 pounds, I think. Get him on an NFL team in an NFL weight room with their strength and condition guys. He's going to get up to that like 205, maybe 210 area. But I think that 205 is about where he's probably going to top out at. And really, that's going to help his BMI, first off. But this guy's got great 4.4 speed. He showed great explosiveness in his jumps at the combine. But really, what I loved about Justice Hill and what got me excited about him months before the combine was his tape. He's explosive. He's quick in the hole. He can make guys miss. He has fantastic jump cuts that he can make guys miss and not lose acceleration. He can go left to right, right to left, plant his foot, and immediately get upfield. I love it seeing that kind of thing out of Justice Hill. Where I want to see him go is, I think he needs to go to a place like, we brought this team up and we kind of poo-pooed it a little bit, but a place like, I almost said San Diego, the LA Chargers. You have Melvin Gordon there. He's your every down tight back. And they have some of these pass-catching backs there as well, and I know they like Eckler. But Justice Hill is a better version of Eckler, in my opinion. He's quicker. He's got better agility, lateral agility, to make guys miss in the hole. And you can use him as a weapon in the passing game as well. I like him a lot. I think he's a shifty back, but he's not going to be that guy that's going to come in and get 20 touches a game. He's a PPR league type guy. If it's a standard league, I think you got to try to stay away from Justice Hill, but he's very electric. Go watch his tape. You're going to be excited when you watch him. Just remember, he's not going to be the guy that gets 20 touches. He's not going to be the guy that you can just plug and play every week and imagine he's going to just win you your week at running back.
So, Tim, did you know who led the NFL via PFF in forced missed tackles this past year?
You know what? Actually, Doug, I do. And you actually helped us with that, I think. I think you shared this right before the podcast, didn't you?
I did. That man's name is Aaron Jones, 38%.
Oh, I've heard of him.
You
I've
talked about him. Justice Hill forcing missed tackles. I just wanted to put it out there that Aaron Jones was the NFL leader at 38%, Tyler. So just put it
Can
out
you
there.
Read me the rest of that list?
Absolutely. I have it right in front of me. So at number two was Ito Smith, who is another Tyler favorite, at 33%. Yeah. We had Wendell Smallwood at 28%. Tied for third place, Dalvin Cook at 28%.
All right.
And
Tyler loves him, though.
And number five was Royce Freeman. So, Tyler, out of the top five, three of these guys are guys that you really like, but you don't even like the number one guy in Aaron Jones. So, cool.
All right, I'm going to talk about Justice Hill, and I have some spots for him. Justice Hill is a very quick runner, and yes, he's got some grit to him. He can break tackles, and I like that about him. I think he'd be awesome in a spread formation. Give me the Texans or the Chiefs. If he went to the Chiefs in like the third round, bingo. That would be awesome. The Texans, even better. He reminds me a lot of Lamar Miller back when Lamar Miller was a good prospect. Because Lamar Miller in Miami had an explosive jump cut. That's what he was known for. A guy that cut and go.
For all of Lamar Miller's faults and just kind of being meh at the end of the season overall, Lamar Miller is built to be a 15 to 20 touch a game guy. I don't think Justice Hill can handle that workload. And maybe I'm wrong. I personally don't see it. I think he's a little too small for that sort of workload. I think he's a guy you have to deploy in that third down role, or when you're looking to specialize him, get him out in space, you have specific plays you want to use him for.
Philip Lindsay says, hold my beer.
So let's talk about a player.
You know what? It wouldn't be the first time I've been completely wrong. He could come in the league and, you know, his the first couple weeks of the season, all of a sudden he gets into a spot where he's getting 15 touches and I look like an idiot. But either way, I love him on the field. I think he's a very electric player. So, hey, I'd like to be wrong about him.
I have one last question. Justice Hill, he goes to the Chiefs in the third or fourth. Where does he go in rookie drafts?
RB5-ish, RB6.
I don't think it changes much for me.
I would probably put him late first or so.
Are you saying
there.
For me or for the group?
Like if you're in a draft, where are you willing to take a guy like Justice Hill? If he went on to the Chiefs, say a late third round pick.
I don't know. Maybe like
I think I'd take him in the second.
I was gonna say 2-4, 2-5, kind of where he's going now.
I wouldn't take him with a first. I think there's guys at other positions at the back end of the first round I'm still willing to look to shoot at. Early second, I would feel comfortable with.
I would love it. I think Justice Hill is a big riser for me. I like what I saw.
Let's move on. So let's talk about a player who comparatively is the opposite of Justice Hill. He doesn't have long speed, but he's big. He can break tackles. He's a grinder. And that's David Montgomery out of Iowa State. Many people had Montgomery as the overall running back in this class. Many people probably still do, and there's nothing wrong with that. I like David Montgomery. You know, he doesn't have the long speed. That's not his game. You know, kind of like Sony Michel. There, I said it. But he can run in between the tackles, can do a little bit of everything, and he's hard to take down. So David Montgomery, I've seen him go anywhere from – he's been all over the place. I've seen him at the 1-5 recently mocked, and I saw him down at like the 1-10 in one draft as well. So, Tim, talk to me about David Montgomery and – in the scheme of things, do we think he can get drafted by a team and be a day one starter? Is that what we think with David Montgomery? I mean, that's the hope, right? But I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah, that is the hope. I think it needs to be almost a perfect landing spot for that to happen, really. I think David Montgomery is going to be a guy that comes into camp and at least pushes the guy in front of him, at least this first year. He's going to be a guy he's definitely going to see work, I think. You know, unless he goes to a place like the Giants or the Cowboys where he's just, you know, legitimately the second guy in line. But a guy who had very good college production, he has some very good tape. When it comes to, you know, his analytics from the combine, not the greatest of long speed, a 4.63, I think was his official time, which is right there in the middle of the class. It's not the worst, it's not the greatest. And we've seen guys without great long speed, you know, NFL products, be productive in the NFL. So I think that David Montgomery is a guy that, you know, if this was 3 months ago, people were talking 101, 102 with him. Now, like you said, Doug, he's fallen to the back end of the first round. I think if we see him go to a place like, I'll say, Tampa or Indy, I think he's going to, you know, rise back up. If we see him go to a place like Atlanta, let's say, I think we see him stay down towards the back of the first round, maybe even fall into the beginning of the second.
And I would love that.
So we think
yeah, that's where you're going to get the value.
We think David Montgomery could probably be a guy that gets a lot of first downs in the league. Did you know, Tyler, that the player that led the league with 31% of his carries going for a first down or a touchdown in 2018? Do you know who that player was?
Tell us, Doug.
It was Aaron Jones.
Oh, wow. He sounds like a really good player.
I tend to like him, but, you know. Instead of trolling Tyler on Twitter, I'm just doing it on the podcast.
Yeah.
Because I have the sack to do it face-to-face.
For everybody that doesn't know, I honestly don't know what it is. There's a little red flags in my head. It's probably just a gut feeling that keeps me away from Aaron Jones. And it's just, I don't have any shares of him. I probably won't. I think he's a little spendy for my taste. And Doug is in the bushes all the time at me, even on DMs, just like, hey, Tyler, Aaron Jones stat comment here. Like, I love it. And I mean, you're not going to change me, Doug.
I am trying my hardest. I'm trying to help you is what I'm trying to do. And if you don't want to seek my help, you know, that's okay. There's other places you can go for help. There's lines you can call. There's meetings that you can attend. You know, talk to a loved one if you need to. Never hesitate to pick up the phone if you need help. That's what I'm saying.
So I'm going to get us back on track and say Montgomery's best spot is probably the Eagles. They have a great offensive line. He's a patient runner. He needs more of an open style. I think Peterson can fit him right in that quote-unquote Kareem Hunt role that he had in Kansas City. He fits very well in that system. I think he would flourish, and I don't think the Eagles have to pay a first-round pick to get Montgomery. I think he could be a second-round or early third-round pick for those Eagles, and I think they found their starting running back they've been looking for.
I like that a lot more.
I do like that fit as well. So the next player I want to talk about, out of Memphis, Tennessee, it's Darrell Henderson. I like this kid a lot. I think he went under the radar at the combine. Like, he tested really well across the board, but I don't think there was much hype for Henderson coming out of the combine as much as there should be. I mean, we saw guys like Miles Sanders. You talked about Mike Weber earlier, having really good combines, but I feel like Henderson just doesn't get talked up enough. And I don't know that's because maybe he has skinny little Melvin Gordon legs, but
little tiny baby hands.
But the tape is phenomenal. The college production is phenomenal. Talk to me about Darrell Henderson here, Tyler, because I'm confused as to why he isn't more of a big deal right now.
He reminds me so much of Tevin Coleman, his tape. He's a guy where his agility scares me. When he comes up to a defender, you know, just waiting for him to come to him in a hole, he's going to try to run around him instead of trying to give him a little juke. He does this weird head thing where he's still running in a straight line, but he kind of moves his head like he's saying no, and then goes to one side he chooses, and it's like he doesn't even move laterally. He just runs around him. So some of it's poor tackling, but man, if this guy, like if he's in Atlanta Falcons, I think he'd be a perfect replacement for Tevin Coleman. Like, perfect. And I think he would do well. He's a good complement to Devonta Freeman, who's an inside guy, a patient inside runner. I think Darrell Henderson's a guy who is a see hole, run as fast as he can through hole type player. And I think they'd complement each other well. If he went to the Falcons, I would love it. But he is very, very team dependent for me. If he went to a team like the Dolphins, no thank you. If he went to a team like the Bears, I probably wouldn't like it either, because I think Tariq Cohen is better at doing what Darrell Henderson does. The Raiders, no, because they would use him as an every down back. I think he's more of a 12 rushes type guy. And like the Buccaneers, I think Rojo probably does just as much as he does. He's a straight line guy, a guy that if he has a hole, he's gonna hit a big play. So I think the Chiefs but Jamal Charles kind of had that, but Jamal Charles, I think agility was a lot better. So
yeah, it was
But I mean, speed wise, they're kind of similar. But I think Charles was just dominant at catching, and Darrell Henderson, I think, has a little skepticism on the whole catching thing. So yeah, he's, like I said, maybe he pairs well with Aaron Jones, you guys. Maybe Aaron Jones is the main back, the Devonta Freeman style, and then Darrell Henderson comes in and is the big play home run type guy for the Packers.
Hey, you know what? As long as Aaron Jones gets 15 touches a game, I don't give a shit who they draft. That's
See,
all that matters
to me. I was trying
to
be positive for you, Doug.
No, it is. I mean, and it's fine. Like, I'm so salty over his usage, but let's keep pushing on. Any thoughts on our boy Darrell here, Tim?
Tyler laid it out very well. He said, see hole, run through hole as fast as he can. The good thing about that is Darrell can run very fast. Sub 4.5, he gets 40 at the combine. I agree with Tyler. Not a ton of lateral agility that I see on tape, but he's got great speed. He can definitely be a weapon, and if there's a hole there, he has the ability to take it the whole way.
So I want to talk about a couple guys that presumably tanked their dynasty value during the combine. The first one, as we all know, because everyone kind of jokes about it, was Elijah Holyfield, who on his pro day ran even worse.
He's still running.
So not so much home cooking there for our boy Elijah. And then the other one was Devin Singletary, who I know a lot of people compared, his tape to LeSean McCoy because he's super shifty, but then he didn't test well from an agility standpoint. So I guess, when we talk about their draft stock, these are guys that I think Devin Singletary gets drafted, but it probably won't be until like the late fifth, sixth round. And I don't know if Elijah Holyfield gets drafted at all. So
Doug, I thought of this the other day, and you just reminded me.
Okay.
Holyfield, undrafted free agent to the Patriots, sits on their practice squad for a while. Sony Michel gets hurt.
Rex Burkett
Holyfield
gets hurt.
Holyfield gets like 14 touchdowns 1 year.
I'm gonna tell you what. If in these rookie drafts that come up right after the draft, Holyfield probably won't get drafted in those either. Maybe he'll get drafted in the late four. So just to fill everyone on that joke. So we're in a league together with a bunch of other analysts called Open Bar Tab, and someone said that Elijah Holyfield will go for $125. And I said, if Elijah Holyfield goes for $125, I'll eat a bag of Tyler's pubes.
And no joke, everybody was begging for $125 so they could go get Elijah Holyfield.
If they want to waste $125 on Elijah Holyfield, as long as they're clean, like, let's make this happen. But anyway.
Oh, no, sir. I'm going to come home from work after 25,000 steps.
And then you're gonna have to ship them to me.
Oh my god.
Maybe they get lost in the mail. I can only hope. So I think Holyfield is a guy after the draft is done that I'll blow some of my fab on to try to get him on my taxi squad. I like his tape. I know he tested horribly, but I'll be willing to take a flyer on him, especially if he does land with a team like New England. I think it's going to be worth it as a freebie. I did the same thing with Bo Scarborough last year. Didn't necessarily work out, but and Scarborough actually had a good combine. So, yeah. But what do we think about Devin Singletary? His stock is in the pooper.
Well,
yeah,
I'm going to go off of our rankings. I have him at 20 overall, and Tim, I am looking him up for you right now. You have him, I think, at 8. You have him at 8. So you are a bigger fan of him, so I will actually let you go first on this one.
Devin Singletary, to me, most of that is based off of the film. Now, I'll be honest. I put my rookie rankings in the day after the combine, so I didn't really let any of this combine stuff really seep in and make any adjustments based off of what I was seeing there. But Devin Singletary's film, It's an exciting watch. The guy is elusive. He's fast on tape. Lateral agility without losing speed, fluid hips, all on tape. But then in front of the nation, in front of the world, at the combine, he is the exact opposite. Good BMI, average 40 time. I think he was mid-4.6s. Bad speed scores, bad agility scores, bad burst scores. And it leaves everybody asking, oof, is this just he looks good against lower competition? Or Is he maybe just not a good test taker? Sadly, I think it's probably a little bit more of the he looks good against weaker competition than it is he kind of flunked that day. I think those scores are a true testament of what he is. It doesn't mean that he can't necessarily transfer over to the NFL, but I think he's going to have to really put in some work and build his game up.
Yeah, agreed. So let's before we wrap up, I do want to kind of do like a little roundhouse kick here. That's my fun way of going roundabout. Roundhouse kick across the face. We touched a little bit about Mike Weber earlier. I'm going to give you some names, and then I want to get you guys' thoughts on these guys, and you can pick any of them that you choose. So we've got the two Williams boys. I know, Tyler, you touched on Dexter earlier from Notre Dame because you're a Notre Dame guy, let's be honest. We got James Williams, and then we've got Travion Williams from Texas A&M. I want to talk a little bit about Mike Weber because I think that he was someone that really popped on my radar during the course of the combine. I want to talk about Bryce Love a little bit because I think he's kind of the lottery ticket of anybody in this draft. And then, we talked about Rodney Anderson a little bit, but two of the guys that stock went up a lot after the combine was Alex Barnes and Raquel Armstead. So let's start with you, Tim. Do you have any thoughts on any of these guys here? Are there any guys in this group that you're going to be kind of targeting in rookie drafts?
Of that group?
Yeah.
I think Weber's a guy I'm going to be targeting in rookie drafts. Travion Williams is a guy that excites me. I like a lot of what I saw on film. Dexter Williams was a guy that I was really just kind of meh about when it came to his film. But the kid really did put together a good combine. There are plenty of people out there that do love him. I don't know. He's going to have to be a guy that, A, is going to have a good landing spot in my eyes, and then he's going to have to kind of fall in my lap, really. If you're talking about, who was it? Alex Barnes, I think, is one guy he said, and then Raquel Armstead?
Yep.
Raquel Armstead, Temple guy. I mean, he's right here in Philly. I should probably have known more about him than I did going into the combine, but he was a guy that kind of forced me to go find out a little bit more about him. He's exciting. I think I'm going to trust more what the NFL tells me about him than really just kind of leaning on his numbers there. And then Alex Barnes, I mean, I'm looking at my spreadsheet here. I have it pulled up now. I mean, he is green all across the board. He put up amazing numbers at the combine everywhere. So he's a guy that if he goes to a place like Kansas City, just athletically, you have to be excited for what a guy like Alex Barnes can do. 226 pounds. And put up some of the best agility numbers, some of the best jumps, some of the best speed numbers. And I believe he had the best bench as well. 34 reps on the bench.
Yeah.
So Alex Barnes is just a guy you have to be excited for here. A name that I'll say there's a very small group, a small collection of guys that is in love with this guy. And I won't say I'm a guy that's in love with him, but I do like him. And everybody knows I'm a pseudo Boise State fan. Alexander Mattison. You know, he had a very solid combine. He has some good tape out there. So just another name I want to kind of throw out there. A guy that if we're at the end of the second round and he's still on the board, I'll be looking to take Madison.
Yeah, I like Madison's tape. I've seen a little bit because our friend NFL draft talker Jake Anderson has been a big proponent of Alexander Mattison. Yep. So he kind of forced me to be like, oh, who's this guy? And then I checked it out and I was like, oh, okay. Kind of like this kid. So, yeah, there's been a nice history of running backs coming out of Boise State.
Yeah.
Except for Jeremy McNichols. Rest in peace. I don't even know what team he's on anymore. So, Tyler, I'm going to open it up to you. You can talk about any of those guys or just spin us a web about anybody left in this running back group that you want to talk about.
So, Dexter Williams is a guy that if he lands in a good spot, gets drafted to a team where he's the second running back or has a chance to boost himself up. It reminds me a little bit of the Corey Clement situation where, you know, a guy that I liked on tape, I don't know if he'll get drafted or not. It'll probably be a little late in this class. Like we talked about how I think running backs will drop in the NFL draft. He's a guy like Tim said, you might be able to get in the fourth round as a flyer, maybe late third. I'd go for him. I think I have him as a 32nd ranked overall rookie. Mike Weber is a guy that I like. He's 17th overall for me. I love what I see out of him. He was a Big Ten freshman of the year, a guy that's a very good running back that just things kept happening to him. Not like off the field issues, but just he got injured, and then J.K. Dobbins came in and just destroyed records. And then he did well splitting time with Dobbins. It's just he became a forgotten man in that offense, and then the whole entire scenario with the coaching happened there from Ohio State. So you didn't really hear nationally about Mike Weber, but he's still a very good running back and another guy who is a five-star recruit, a big-time recruit that you got to remember, ultra-talented, a guy that might not have had the scenario in college like a lot of other people had. So guy just keep your eye on. I'm at 17. I think he's going to be a steal in drafts. Trevion Williams, I also like a lot. I like his tape. I think he's just a good all-around running back. I have him at 18. He's a guy that, once again, if he's a third or fourth round pick, it maybe has that Alvin Kamara type feel to him. He has that kind of explosiveness that I saw from Kamara in college, where maybe at the next level, it's at a different level than what we saw. So I like Trevion Williams. And I'm just scrolling through my rankings here, so I'm just giving you some time killer. James Washington is a guy that, or James William.
It's like Williams. James Washington.
Sorry, I love James Washington so much, I just had to bring him up. But James Williams is a guy that, Doug, like you said at the combine, smooth. That's
love
all I
got to
say. That's it. Yeah. He's so smooth. His routes were smooth. Just, he looks so calm. I'm at 32. So he's a guy that could be a James White type player.
If I have a fourth round pick, that's one of the guys that I want.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He reminds me of that Ito Smith type range, a guy that could go in the fourth round. Like Ito Smith, we never expect to go in the fourth round in the NFL draft. Boom, Atlanta takes him in the fourth round, and people are still sleeping on it. Like that's a lot of draft capital for a guy we actually expected to be drafted maybe the fifth or sixth.
Yep.
So say James Washington.
Didn't even get an invite to the combine.
Yeah, so say James Washington's a guy that we expect,
Williams.
Okay, fifth, or James Williams, is a guy that goes in the fifth round or so, and say he gets drafted early fourth, that should open people's eyes to be like, okay, a team likes him to the point where they needed to go out and get him. Maybe a same scenario as Myles Gaskin, who had ultra college production, ends up in the late fourth round to a team that might be running back needy like Oakland, and say that they're just going for 2020 and maybe going for a guy like AJ Dillon, like a big back, and say, okay, we're going to deal with Myles Gaskins for now.
Or a team that needs a pass catching back, like maybe a Tampa.
I got nothing. They already have Rojo. That's all I'll say. No, Myles Gaskins, he's a guy I'm just keeping my eye on, and a guy that everybody else should too, because he was very good at college and some very tough competition, and can do everything quite well.
Yeah, the only guy that I wanted to bring up that you guys didn't touch on was Bryce Love. So I talked about it.
I was just about to circle back.
Right after the combine, I made a notation on the pod and said, you know what, I would love to be able to get Bryce Love in like the third round of rookie drafts. Now, I know he tore his ACL late in the season. You may not get from him much in year one, but he did have that one monster. He was number two in the Heisman voting. Had that monster year at Stanford. Like, the tape was great. And then, you know what? The year after that, he wasn't as hot, and his name started to get a little rusty in circles. But people were talking like Bryce Love is a top five dynasty pick in this year's class. And then he gets hurt. So I think if you're willing to sit on him for a year, get him at a discount, I love that move in dynasty to be able to get him as a top of the third, maybe even a late second, depending on how all these landing spots shake out, you know?
Yeah, I was just about to say, Doug, completely agree. 16, 20 months ago, people were talking about Bryce Love as possibly the best running back in the class.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some down statistics and an injury, and he's kind of the forgotten man.
So that's another player. That's another player that if he gets drafted by an NFL team in the fifth round, it's going to open my eyes, because I'm expecting a sixth, maybe seventh round pick for Love, and say what fifth or fourth round. Holy cow. Like Bryce Love.
That would be big.
Yeah. That'd be huge.
So a couple other guys I want to talk about before we wrap up that didn't get invites to the combine that I like, especially as, you know, if they land somewhere cool, it could be really nice. It could be worth some draft stock, or if it's guys that don't get drafted in your dynasty drafts, guys that I want to have on my taxi squad. And there's two of them. So the first one is Bruce Anderson from North Dakota State. I like him quite a bit as a guy that fits that mold. And the other one is Divine Ozigbo from Nebraska, who had his pro day and tested really, really well. I mean, he was one of the most athletic running backs in this draft if he was going to be at the combine. So especially for his side, like his size adjusted speed score is really, really good. So, you know, he was getting a lot of momentum with the Josh Norrises of the world. Really before the Senior Bowl, even, is when I first saw his name get thrown around by a lot of respectable people. And that kind of got him on my radar. And, you know, seeing his results and everything, like, that's a guy that I think could surprise people, much like an Ito did, and get drafted in the fourth or fifth round. And people will be like, who's this guy? I mean, the layman, we know who he is because we do dynasty football. So that's another one that I just want to keep an eye on, is Divine Ogzigbo from Nebraska, who I think could be a pleasant surprise. And he might even pop up in your fourth round of your rookie drafts, depending on where he lands, because I think he might have a role for a team. Obviously, landing spot dependent. Wash, rinse, repeat on that one. Any last words, gentlemen, on this crop of running backs before we wrap it up?
I think Ogzigbo is a great addition.
Yeah, and it's not running back or anything related, but I just want to say thank you to all the listeners. I know if you guys follow me on Twitter or anything, you guys realize that apparently saying that you're buying Rojo cheap is a very bad thing to do. So I just want to say thank you guys for listening and just taking my advice, but not being like, wow, this guy's really dumb about you know, talking football. He's just giving us a little cheap buy advice, a little low risk, high reward type thing. But no, honestly, we do this for you guys, the listeners, from when we started. I think we're no joke coming up on 3 years in April. April 14th, I think, is our 3 years for Dynasty Happy Hour. And it's amazing. And I'd just like to thank all you guys for everything you guys do as fans. And just keep on listening. We'll keep trying to help you guys. That's what we're here for. Just trying to give you guys a little guided information, not trying to stuff it down your throat and tell you this is what's right, this is what's wrong. Mm-hmm. We just want to help you guys with your own evaluation. And that's what we've done with it from the start.
And
so
absolutely.
Thank you.
And if you like the podcast, head on over to dynastyhappyhour.com. We've got a partnership right now with DLF. So if you want to get a t-shirt, you can use code Dynasty and save 10% off. That's t-shirts, sweatshirts, there's hats. I was eyeballing the sweatshirts and I was like, ooh, I could use a nice
They're extra, comfy.
I could use a nice slim down Doug, extra large sweatshirt, fit me real nice. Thinking about making that purchase. So make sure you check that out. Also want to give a shout out to Trophy Smack. So make sure you use code DHHRING. Get that free $60 ring when you order a trophy. Whether it's, you know, you've got your league meetings coming up, or if you're starting a league, you got that dynasty startup, go ahead and get your trophy today from them. And we want to thank Sitter Start Fantasy App. So make sure you check them out on the Google Play Store as well as iTunes. That is going to do it this week for the Dynasty Happy Hour. We'll be back next week when we're going to talk about, we going to do wide receivers? We want to do quarterbacks, tight ends. What do we want to do?
Let's do wide receivers.
All right, we're going to do wide receivers next week. So that would be a much more uplifting talk because there's a lot to unpack with this deep, deep, deep 2019 wide receiver class. So we'll see you next week on the Dynasty Happy Hour.
That's all the time we have for Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're looking for more fantasy football advice, be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. Doug at DaFantasyFather, Tim at DHH_Tim, Tyler at DHH_Tyler. Check out DynastyHappyHour.com for rankings, articles, ADP, shirts, and so much more. Need a question answered on the show? Hit the guys up on Twitter at DynastyHHPod, on the contact link on the site, or by email. DHH at DynastyHappyHour.com. Music is brought to you by the Fantasy Hitman, Mike Wright. We'll catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour.